Brother Lou's going to come in just a little bit. I was asking him, what should I call him? Should I call him Brother Lou, Brother D, Brother D. Philippantonio? What should I call him? He said, just don't call me Brother Lou D, because then it would be Brother L-O-U-D, Brother Loud. And so we won't call him that tonight. So we're looking forward to hearing from him. I've known him for a little while from football camp. He's been coming to football camp for about 6 years. And the teenagers, we got to hear from him during the fall tournament there at Dwight. He preached, and we enjoyed that. That was very good. So, again, he did a great job in TNT just a little while ago. I'm looking forward to hearing from him tonight. A couple of the ladies are going to do a duet. Ladies, you can come on up here. I'll go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you again that you would please meet with us. Lord, we're asking that you please bless the special music, but then be with Brother Lou as he preaches. Pray, Lord, that we would listen, that, Lord, our hearts would be open to what you have for us tonight. Speak to us, please. In your name we pray. Amen.
All of grace is my story.
Bible this evening. Open your Bible to the book of Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. I've got two sermons in my Bible, and you might get both of them tonight. And one's in Mark chapter 6 and one's in Mark chapter 14. I've been sitting here praying and looking. I've got them both in here, and I've been praying and looking, and God said, no, I think you need to go with this one. Mark chapter 6. I just want to say thank you again to the pastor and those that have taken me out to dinner, both the assistants, and they've just been a blessing, and the great accommodations over there at the Comfort Inn, and it is refreshing to come to a place where they actually like God. Amen. I have the privilege as an evangelist to travel around the country, and I have probably been in about 70 to 65 to 80 churches a year is what we have the privilege to be in, and it is a blessing. But I just want you to know that you have a great church, but don't forget what made it that way. It's all about Him, and I do appreciate all that God has done and all that God wants to do here. I'm looking for places. I'm a church planter. I'm a missionary church planter. I'm an evangelist. I tell people I'm a missionary evangelist, church planter to the world. I've started churches in Canada. I've started churches in the Caribbean. I've started churches in Mexico. And I've started churches in Burma and Thailand. And I've started 38 churches here in America in the last 20 years that I've been doing this. And not because I'm a great Christian, but because I have a great God that has allowed me to do some, that has allowed me to meet some great people that have that pioneer spirit, that want to do something. And I'm just excited about it. And I would appreciate your prayers. On my back table, there's my prayer card. If you go by and take one of those, and I have a bunch of them. I just ordered like 5,000 of them. And what I did, my buddy that designed the card, the only place my name is spelled correctly, it's on there three times, and it's wrong all but once. And I should have flunked this kid in Bible college when I had the chance, but he's now one of our assistant pastors. But I can't believe that he spelled my name wrong. It's only 15 letters long. And I used to give people 5 extra points on their final exam. 5 extra points on your final exam, if you needed them, if you just spelled my name correctly. And so they would work at spelling my name correctly, and I used to get a kick out of that. But on the table is my prayer card. I'd appreciate it if you take one and pray for us. There's a lot of things going on. We're trying to raise money right now to go back to Burma. And I've got a young man. Matter of fact, I've got a family that's living in America that has dual citizenship that is pure Burmese, and his wife is also from there. They're both from the land from Myanmar. We call it Myanmar, and they call it Myanmar. But I call it Burma. That's what it used to be, and they do too. They refer to it as Burma. Myanmar means many nations or many lands, many people. But I'm trying to go back there. He is going back probably either the end of this month or the beginning of July to go back to his homeland and start a church. He has dual citizenship. He has American citizenship and Burmese citizenship. He just got his American citizenship last year, and now he's going back. So he can come in and out without a visa. I can go into Burma for 28 days max. That's what they'll let me go in. And so I told him I'd come in November, and I made a big promise, and now I need to raise, and you pray, I need to raise about $4,000 to go. And that's about what it costs. It costs about $3,000 for plane and food and all the rest of it. They expect the Americans to pay, and you got to have a place to live. And so if you pray about that, I would appreciate it. But I just want to say thank you for being in church. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you're in church. Man, I like church. And I love God's people. I'm not one of those evangelists that blows in, blows up, and blows out. I just love God's people. I'm so thankful that I get to be in church tonight. If you have your Bible, Mark chapter 6, and I'd like you to stand with me. Find verse 1. Mark chapter 6. I don't want to catch the song leaders. Whatever he had, don't give it to me. Mark chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks, and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages, teaching." Let's pray together. Father, we sure do love you tonight, and we sure do need you tonight. Holy Ghost of God, I'd ask that your will be done in our lives. I ask you that you'll just bless in a special way. And Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'll unction every word that I say. Father, speak through me to your people, but God, speak to me also. And Holy Ghost of God, we need your help to give. I ask you to give your people ears to hear and hearts to understand and apply your word. And Lord, I just ask you, dear God, to do what only you can in our service. And I thank you for Faith Baptist Church. I thank you for this place here in Illinois trying to do the job for God. Lord, I just pray you bless in a great way tonight. Lord, I pray you just help me to say what needs to be said tonight. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can have a seat if you like. I've said that. I said that one time preaching in a boys' home, not knowing what to expect about 12 years ago. And I said that, and I said you can have a seat. And the whole back row was standing up. See, I wasn't paying attention. I said, why is the back row standing up? And I looked at the pastor. I said, why is the back row standing up? He goes, I'll tell you later. Just preach your sermon. And so I preached my sermon. And get that, it's for you. It's the Lord. He's saying, turn off your phone. I'm sorry, I have no idea who it is, so I'm safe. Oh, man. The evangelist will never get invited back again. I like messing with people, so just get over it. But the whole back row was standing up, and I found out that when you say, and I always have people stand when they read the Bible just out of respect for the Word of God, and then I have you all seated after I pray, and that whole back row was standing, and afterwards the pastor told me, he said, they lost their privilege to sit. I went, huh? He goes, yeah. When in a boy's home, he said, in our home, he says, you can do, there are certain stages of punishment, but one of them, you can get to the place where you lose your privilege to sit. So from the moment they wake up at 5:30 in the morning when Reveille is called, trust me, I know, because it echoes through the whole place when you're staying there. 5:30, they wake up, they have to stand to their feet, and then they don't sit down again till 9:30 at night when they go to sleep. They stand for breakfast, they stand for lunch, they stand for dinner, they stand for school, they stand. And they stand for chapel. Now, it was interesting, so in case you say, well, you can be, I always say, you can be seated, you know, if you haven't lost your privilege. Tonight, as we've looked at the Word of God in Mark chapter 6, and I'll try to be as quick as I can. I'm looking at the clock, and I'll have you out of here about as soon as I can get you out of here. Which, for an evangelist, I don't know. But let me just say, I started thinking about, as I read this thing, man, just several things jumped out at me that I just couldn't get around and couldn't get away from. The Bible says in verse 2, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter's son? The brother, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and all these. And it says, and the Bible says in the end of verse 3, and they were offended at him. And I got to thinking, after all they have seen, all that Jesus has done, everything they have witnessed, and now they're offended at him. I simply want to ask you this question in the message, and I don't know if I'll even get to the answer. You just never know. But they were offended at him. I want to, and I've preached a series of messages called Storm After Storm. But here, Jesus is literally having his entire life questioned. And I want to ask you this, and I simply want to ask you this question. Will you be offended in him? Will you be offended by him? Maybe I'll ask you this. Will you limit Jesus with your life? You know, Jesus can do a lot of things, but there is a place and there is a time and there are situations, there is in this situation, that they literally stopped the hand of God from doing mighty works in town because of their unbelief. And I'm just afraid in Christianity today, we are living in a world where we accept Christ as our Savior, and then we limit Him in every instance because of our unbelief. Well, I don't want to do that, and I don't believe that, and I'm not going to do that. I don't want to listen to that. And that's kind of scary. That we literally can limit the hand of God. He will take His hand off of a situation and just say, hey, knock yourself out. You're on your own. I don't know about you. I don't want to do this thing alone. But I want to look at a few things, and we'll just go as far as we can. I said this. It's hard to believe that God's people could be so vindictive, and that people in general could be so vindictive that they were offended. Jesus became an offense. The Bible says, and they were offended at Him. I call this simply, they had contempt and rejection for the Lord. The word contempt means the act of despising, the act of viewing or considering and treating meanly. It means to disdain. It means to have a hatred and to deem something or someone vile. That's what contempt means. Rejection means to throw away. It means to cast off and forsake or turn away from. And it shocks me here, and I just want to look at a few things that, and I want to ask you this question: will you be offended in Him, or will you limit Jesus in your life? You see, these folks limited Jesus. The Bible says in verse 6, and He marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled. The Bible says in verse 5, and He could there do no mighty work. He came to do a mighty work. Can I tell you something? He wants to do a mighty work in your life. He wants to do something unbelievable so that He can show the entire lost world, hey, look what I can do. These people said, we don't want this. They were offended. Can I say this? And I'm spiritually dyslexic, because I'm going to say this morning 100 times, and I probably said this morning tonight, and I apologize if I did. I'm just spiritually, I get things sometimes that just don't. Things don't click, and I apologize. You wait till you're 56. Can I say Jesus was limited by their offense? He was limited by their offense. The Bible says in verse 1, and He went throughout, and He went out from thence and came into His own country, and His disciples followed Him. Notice verse 2. Verse 2 says this, and when the Sabbath day was come, He began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing Him were astonished, saying... Now, the word astonished, I looked it up in the dictionary, it means this. It means surprised. It means amazed. It means they were shocked. Like, what is He teaching? The Bible says they were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto Him, that even such mighty works are wrought by His hand? By His hands. Can I say they were offended? They were displeased. They were angry. You say, what were they? Why were they offended in Him? Can I say they had contempt? They were offended because of His doctrine of instruction. The Bible says, from whence hath this man these things? That he was teaching them. And what wisdom is this which is given unto Him? Can I say, they had contempt for the doctrine of instruction, His teaching. They had contempt, and they were offended because of His great information, because of the wisdom God had given Him. They were mad at what He was saying, because He was using the Word of God. And people, I can't believe it, but I've been in churches and I've seen people get upset and leave church because of a sermon they heard. And I'm thinking, what's going on? Are they not listening? Did somebody say something wrong? You see, are you offended in Jesus? It's very possible for you and I to get offended, to have that contempt and rejection in our heart. Let me ask you, will you limit Jesus in your life? Because if you get offended at what He's saying, they had contempt for His doctrine of instruction, for what He was teaching. They had contempt for His great information, for the knowledge He had. They had contempt for His insight, for the wisdom that He had. Can I say, they had contempt and they were offended because of the incredible feats that He performed. It says, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? They got mad when he did something. And they got upset when he didn't do anything. I mean, he couldn't please anybody. You hear that old, there's an old adage that goes, you can please some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but never all the people all the time. Jesus was in one of those situations. He couldn't please anybody anytime. And they, listen, they limited, Jesus was limited in what he could do by their offense. Let me ask you, when you hear the, are you limiting Jesus in your life this evening? When you hear the Word of God preached, do you buckle and say, I've not seen it here, but I've seen it. I was in Canada preaching. First time I've ever been to Canada. As a matter of fact, it was the year 2000. And right after Y2K. And they said, aren't you afraid to get on an airplane? I said, no, I got a plane ticket. I got permission from God to get on. I got on. And I'm preaching in a place called Quispam Sis. Don't ask me where it is. I have no idea. It's in Canada. And in the second row, in the front seat right there, the whole time I'm preaching, I'm in the whole stinking time. And I preach longer just to make him upset. I mean, he's just mad. I couldn't say anything. I said, man, ain't Jesus good? He was just upset. He wasn't upset with me. He wasn't upset with the church. He wasn't upset with anything but God. He was mad at God. He was mad. I don't know why. I never did find out why. He threatened to kill himself while I was preaching a revival meeting at the church. So you might not want to invite me for a revival meeting. I don't know. But he threatened to kill himself. The pastor at 2 o'clock in the morning had to go over there. I said, I'll go with you. He said, you better not. I said, why? He said, he might be offended at you. I said, for preaching the book? He goes, yeah, he don't like hard preachers. He don't like people that jump up and down and scream and holler, and he likes it quiet and mild. I said, ooh, you definitely got the wrong man. I said, I'll go with you anyway. He said, okay, but you got to stay outside. He said, I don't want him to shoot anybody. And I'm going like this, going, it's a bad day to be in Canada. Because, see, I'm an Italian. When you think Italian, you think knife, gun. Not necessarily in that order. And I live in the free state of Ohio where you can carry a gun. Amen. And I do. Any policemen in the auditorium? Okay, good. But I do. I usually have it pretty close. But I mean, this guy was just upset. He was just offended from something he heard from the Scripture that just turned his screw the wrong way. But he was mad before I got there. His daughter came to me. She was 21 years old. She came to me in the service. She slipped me a note. And I gave it to the pastor. But it literally said, on the note, it said, help. I need to get out of this situation at home I'm in. Please help me. Now, I don't care who you are. I'm 1,000 miles away from home, and I handed it to the pastor. I said, here, your problem. But can I say, Jesus was limited here by their offense. They were offended because of what he taught. How foolish. Can I say tonight, you better be careful when the man of God stands behind a pulpit, no matter who it is, whether it's your pastor or a visitor, you better be careful when you hear the Word of God preached that you don't limit God's hand in your life by your offense. Well, how dare him preach that? You've got a great church. You're going to celebrate 45 years? Wow. That's awesome. 45 years. And I guarantee you there have been folks that have come and gone offended. Well, I'm not going to listen to that. Can I say Jesus was limited by their offense? Can I say they had a contempt for His doctrine? They had a contempt for His information, for the knowledge and the wisdom and the very miracles they were upset about. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says this. Well, let me go back to verse 2 and let me just make this statement. I want you to notice what they tried to do to Jesus. The Bible says in verse 2, In the very middle statement, he says, "From whence hath this man these things?" I want you to notice what they tried to do. They tried to make Jesus just flesh and blood. They tried to make Him just a man. That's what religion does today. They try to make Jesus just a man. I've talked to Jehovah false witnesses, and they said Jesus was a good prophet. He was a good man, but He's not God. I've talked to the guys with the gold badges. They ride the little bicycles down the street in their white shirts. Talking about the Mormons. I've talked to them, and they said Jesus was a good man. And He was a good prophet. But He's not God. He was just a man. I mean, I preach in Palmyra, New York every year. I do a revival meeting in Palmyra, New York, and I knock on doors and I try to win people to Christ. And they look at me like I got three heads. Because they say, Jesus isn't God. He's just a prophet. He's a man just like you. And I said, wrong! He's not just like me. He's the God-man. And I said, that offends me, and I know it offends God. And I said, you're an offense to God. But here, I want you to see Jesus was limited by their offense because they were trying to make Him man. Just a man. He's way more than just a man, my friends. He was the God of the universe, but their statement was, from whence hath this man these things? Well, who does this character think he is anybody? Anyway, he's nobody. He's just like us. He's nothing but a sinner. I mean, who does he think he is? I mean, he's nobody. He was born in a nobody family, in a nobody place, in a stable, like an animal. He's nothing. Who does he think he is? They got offended at him. Can I say, they had a contempt. Jesus was limited by their offense. I say, verse 3. Let's go to verse 3. Verse 3 says this, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph," I think that's how you pronounce his name, "and Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. Can I say they had contempt for his livelihood? Oh, he's nothing but a stinking carpenter. He just works with his hands. He's just a working man. He's nothing. I said they had contempt for his legacy. He's the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? We know who is. Can I say they had contempt for his legacy, for his parents and his family? I mean, he couldn't please them no matter what he tried to do. And that's the way it is. Look, and in the last part of that, the Bible says not only did he have contempt for his legacy, but they had contempt for his lineage. It says, talks about his siblings, his brothers and his sisters. I mean, he couldn't do anything to them. Everything he was, everything that he spoke, he offended people. Can I tell you something? If you're going to live for God, you're going to offend some people. If you're going to live the kind of life you're supposed to live for God, you are going to be an offense to some people. People are going to look at you like you have three heads. They're going to say, how can you believe that? Just do. There are some people you're never going to be able to talk to. There are some people you're never going to be able to convince that He's God. You say, what do I do with those folks? You just pray for them. That's all you can do. You pray for them. You be their friend from a distance. And every time you see them, you invite them to church. And get them under the sound of the gospel. Every time you have an opportunity, you give them the gospel. Every time you have an opportunity, give them a track. I mean, but all you can do is basically pray for them and give them a track. I mean, if they're not going to let you, if you're going to offend them, because the bottom line is you're saved, you're His child, and you are an offense to some people. Just like here, Jesus was simply trying to tell people about Himself and about heaven and how to go there. And can I say, He was limited by their offense. Let me ask you this. Are you limiting Jesus in your life tonight? They had contempt for everything about Him. Look at verse 4 and 5. The Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and amongst his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them." I started looking at that and thinking about that, and I realized not only was Jesus limited by their offense, but can I say Jesus was limited by their lack of honor? Their lack of honor. The Bible says a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and amongst his own kin and in his own house. Do you understand? They did not value who he was and all that he could do. They did not. They saw some of the miracles. They understood. But can I say, they did not value, they didn't honor him. The Bible says a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and amongst his own kin in his own house. How sad. Here's the God of the universe, the God of all power. You say, who is he? Can I say, he's the Alpha and Omega. He's the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. He's the almighty. He's God of the universe. He's the all powerful, all knowing, ever present. He can do anything, God. And they just looked at him. And the Bible says that they limited Jesus by their lack of honor. You say, who is this God? Can I say that this evening, He's God of the universe. He's God. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior. But not only who He is, but what He is. Or what He can do. I wrote this statement down. I thought it was kind of cool. You might not, but I like it, so you got to listen to it. What can He do? He can do what He wants, when He wants, where He wants, why He wants, with whomsoever He wants, how He wants, anytime, in any place He wants, just because He wants. Let me say that again because it's kind of cool. And I have to read it because I wrote it down and I know I can't remember it. He can do what He wants, when He wants, where He wants, with whomsoever He wants, why He wants, how He wants, anytime He wants, just because He wants. You understand, He's God. And who He is, He's God of the universe. What He can do, anything, everything. The Bible says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. He said, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, and Jesus looked upon them saying, with men it is impossible, with God, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Can I tell you, my friend, He is the God of the impossible. He doesn't get kicked into gear until man stops. He can do the impossible because He's the God of the impossible. He's the God that rose from the dead and conquered sin and death and hell. The only man ever to rise from the dead and to live forever. He's the God-man. And can I tell you this morning or this afternoon, my friends, this evening, whatever stinking time it is, hallelujah. I told you I'm dyslexic, but I'm trying to correct myself. You say, what has He done? Not only who He is and what He's done, what He can do, but what has He done? Can I say He's raised the dead? He's healed the sick. He's made the lame to walk, the blind to see. He's calmed the storm and the seas, and He walked on the water. Matter of fact, He made men like Peter walk on water. He turned water to wine. He silenced the scoffers with His knowledge and wisdom. He's holy. He excites kings. He's the provoker of the brethren. Can I tell you this morning? Here I am. Can I tell you this afternoon? Jesus, who He is. Can I say they did not value who He was and all that He could do? Can I tell you, my friends, we better not limit Jesus by our lack of honor. You see, they limited Him by their offense. They said, who is this man? That's all He is. He's just a man, right? No, He's not. He's the God-man. He's 100% God, 100% man. You say, how's that possible? Because He's God. The Bible said the blood that flows through His veins is God's blood. It's perfect blood. When I had my first baby, I didn't have one, but my wife, we had our first child. Y'all, don't look at me like that. When my wife and I had our first child, I was 24 years old. I didn't understand all this child. How I asked the doctor. I said, how is this possible? She said, you don't know. And I said, where's the life come from? I know the Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I asked the doctor, and I said, well, the mother makes life, right? She goes, oh, no. I said, well, what's the umbilical cord do? She said, the umbilical cord gives food and oxygen. I went, now you got to understand, this is 35 years ago. 33 years ago. I went, oh, okay. I said, well, how does a baby make blood? She said, that comes from dad. I said, say that one more time. She says, the ability for a baby, for the blood-making capability of every baby comes from dad. Dude, that was all she had to say. I was outside in the parking lot running around like a maniac. Because it caught. I mean, I figured it out. You understand, the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God overshadowed Mary, and that holy thing which was born of that was born in her was from God. God's blood flowed through his veins. I have read commentaries where they're arguing, could Jesus sin? And look, I'm nothing but a country boy. I'm just a farm boy. I'm a country boy. Just country wisdom. And the answer is no chance in the world could he ever sin. Why? Because his blood was pure. It's God. And listen, not only did they limit Jesus by their offense, but they limited Jesus by their lack of honor, not willing to place him and give him the honor and the respect that he deserves. And my friends, if your life, does your life limit Christ? Does your life limit God? Can I say it does if you don't honor God and place him first? The Bible says he must have the preeminence. He's got to be first. He's got to be first in everything. He's got to be first in everything. Now, this is going to sound ridiculous, but every time I get up in the morning, I say, Lord, what do you want me to put on? Now, I know you want me to put something on, because it only makes sense for me to put something on. Amen. I'm not asking what he wants me to put on. When I'm in meetings, I'll pray about what suits I'm to take. I'll pray about what sermons to preach. You got to pray about everything. I pray about what direction. Even if my GPS says go this way, I'm still praying about what direction to take. Because the GPS isn't always right. Even though it's the global positioning system, I'd rather have the God positioning system. Amen. My GPS has taken me some places that it didn't even know how to get out of. It brought me here on every back road it could from the border of Indiana and crossing Illinois. It brought me on every back road it could find. Dude, I was on cow paths. I was going 10 miles an hour on a dirt road, and I'm thinking, Lord, I said, God, I don't think this is it. I ain't never going to get there this way. And if it's all the way like this, I'm not sure I want to get there. Can I say, we better place God in the position that he deserves. They did not value who he was and all that he could do. Can I say, they did not value anything that he was trying to teach them. You better be careful when the Word of God is being preached, that you don't let it soak in. You've got to take it in. You've got to take the teaching of the Word of God. When the Word of God is being taught and being preached across the pulpit, you better, or in your Sunday school classes, you better listen. You better absorb it. You ought to take notes. You ought to try to apply everything. Listen, the best sermons your pastor has are the ones his people apply. They're the ones that count. You better apply every one that you can. Can I say tonight? But they limited Jesus by their lack of honor. They did not value who he was and what he could do. They did not value anything he tried to teach them. That's why it says in verse 2, for whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this that is given unto him that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? It's hard to believe, but here they were walking with our Savior. They were listening to our Savior, and they were offended in everything he had to say. They did not value anything he tried to teach them. They did not value anything he tried to show them. They did not value anything he tried to do for them. As a matter of fact, they rejected it. They didn't want it. Is that how your life is this morning or this evening? God's trying to do something in your life. He's trying to help you. He's trying to grow you. He's trying to get you to become what you're supposed to become. Are you fighting him? Teenager, are you fighting him tonight? Are you fighting him, mom and dad? As he's trying to grow you and stretch you. And growing pains, they don't call them growing pains for nothing. Sometimes growing is painful. But as God is trying to do all he's trying to do, do you honor God? Do you place him in first place in your life? I know he's first place in the church here. But let me ask you a question. Is he first place in your home? I can walk into a home and tell who's got first place. Just let me find out where the TV is. I know, I done touched on the sacred couch. Look, I got a TV too. That'd be okay. Now, Lester Roloff used to say, "We can't blast against a one-eyed monster." But I'm just saying, do you honor God in your home? Do you honor God in your home? You say, well, how can I honor God in my home? Let me ask you, do you have devotions? Do you pray together as a family? You know, my wife and I, even on the telephone, as I've been traveling for the last 20-some years, we pray together and try to pray together every morning. Just to start our day off right. Not because we're great Christians, because I'm not. She is, but I'm not. I can be aggravating to God sometimes. I know who I am. Just leave me alone. I know who I am. We try to start our day all right. We try to honor God and put Him first. We try to get it started. When I'm home, the few days of the year that I'm home, last year I was on the road 249 days. That didn't put me home many days. Every morning, I call her on the phone. Most times she calls me, and we pray together. We try to start our day off right, and then we try to end our day. I'll talk to her tonight before she goes to bed, before I go to bed. I'll talk to her tonight. And we'll say, I love you, and we'll pray together and tell God we love Him and thank Him for the days. We try to do that every day. Can I say, do you honor God in your home? Mom and Dad, do you honor God in your home by teaching your children God's principles? I mean, devotion time ought to be a fun time. Can I say, my children are not perfect because I know who their dad is. But I try to make devotions exciting. Because nobody wanted, listen, my kids didn't want to sit in another sermon every day. So we tried to have devotional time. And I made them read the Bible, and as they were learning to read, and I said, what do you think that means? And we had times where all three of my boys, I said, why don't you get up and give us a 2-minute message about what you think God wants from your life. And they get up, and I mean, they're 4 and 5 years old, and they get up, and they're spitting and slobbering and throwing stuff around, because they've seen their dad do that. And most of the messages were pretty good. But do you make God a drudgery at your house? Hey, you better do this! Or do you make being a Christian fun? I mean, Christianity is fun. If it gets better than this, I'm going to need more energy. I enjoy doing what I do, but can I say, they limited Jesus by their lack of honor. Do you honor God at your home? Do you honor God with your children? Can I say, you do honor God by your presence in church? You honor God by your service in church? Are you serving God for you, or are you serving God because of who He is and what He's done for you? Some people are serving God. Listen, don't get mad at me, but if you do, but there are some people that serve God because they want this. You did a great job, buddy. Hey, everybody, he did a great job. And they're doing it for them. They're doing it for what they can get out of this thing. And I think that's a dishonor to God. Because it ain't about you and I. It's about Him. It's all about Him. It's always been about Him. It's never been about us. We're just tools that get to be used. Can I tell you something? You don't have to serve God. You get to serve God. But something happens along the way of getting to serve God. You know, duty is the I have to. That's the I have to's. I have to. I have to read my Bible. And I have to pray. And I have to go to church. And I have to. And I have to. And I have to. And I have to. But something happens as you grow up in God, as you start to grow in the Lord. You go from the I have to's, you start realizing what a privilege it is that you are just part of the family of God. And it's no longer I have to. It's like, wow, I get to serve God, and I get to read my Bible, and I get to pray, and I get to go to church, and I get to tithe, and I get to talk to God, and I get to serve. I get to. Duty is the safety net that keeps us from falling out of the frying pan into the fire and ruining our lives. But we don't stay there. We go from I have to I get to. But the abundant Christian life starts here. And it's, man, I get to, and I get to, and I get to, and I get to the place where you're over here. You don't have to any longer. You don't just get to any longer, but now, all this is all you want to. This is the abundant Christian life. This is where God is everything. And listen, we're not perfect. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. We're going to mess up, but we ought to want to live over here in that abundant Christian life where, listen, I want to serve God, and I want to live right, and I want to hear a well done, thou good and faithful servant, and I want to please Him, and I want to make Him happy, and I want Him to love me more than anybody else. Listen, I want Him to know that I care about Him. Can I say tonight, Jesus was limited by their lack of honor. They discounted His holiness. They discounted His preaching. They discounted His powerful miracles, His wisdom, His solid teaching, His family lineage, His tie to the throne of Israel, His very person and all of His companions. How sad. Can I say lastly, verse 6 says this, and He marveled. Now, can I say something? He marveled. Because of their unbelief. You've got to be an awful... How do I say this without being politically incorrect? You've got to be a stinking sorry devil to make God marvel at your unbelief. I sure hope this is never said about us. I sure hope this is never said about Faith Baptist Church. I marvel at their unbelief. What a tragic statement to marvel at their unbelief. The Bible says, and He marveled at their unbelief. Can I say, they were unbelieving in their hearts and their actions. Let me just read them. I'm running out of time. Can I say, unbelief will harden your heart to God's Word and to God's work. That's found in Hebrews. It'll harden your heart to God's Word and to God's work. Can I say, unbelief turns your way from God's way. Turns your way from God's way to your own way. Unbelief leads us to depart from following God's will for our lives. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Can I say, unbelief will absolutely turn you completely away from God and everything that He stands for. Can I say, Jesus was limited by their offense, by their lack of honor, and by their unbelief. You say, preacher, I'm just going to skip a bunch of things because I want you to be home at a reasonable time. Now I'm looking at the clock and I've got time. But can I say, what do I do? Preacher, what do we do in the face of friends and family and some of our best friends? And what do we do in the face of folks that limit Jesus? What should I do? You should do the same thing Jesus did. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, and He marveled because of their unbelief. Period. He said, okay, well. And the next statement goes like this. And He went round about the villages teaching. He said, what did He do? He just kept on doing it. He just kept on doing right. He kept on giving out the gospel. He kept on living right. He kept on being the Savior. He didn't let it discourage Him. He didn't let it sidetrack Him. He just kept on going. He found somebody willing to listen. The Bible says, and He went round about the villages teaching. He said, well, can't do anything here. I'll just move on. I started a church a couple years ago in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And I've started a bunch since then, but the one I'm just thinking about this illustration. Johnstown, Pennsylvania, it got off to a very, very slow start because we started knocking on doors, and we were in the very, very, very wealthy neighborhood. I'm knocking on doors, and people's houses are $1 million, and I got discouraged because either you were not home, or they were not interested, or they just were rude and cuss you out of the door. Been there, done that. And I got very discouraged. But we had this whole street to do. We had this whole area to do. And the young men that were with me, they said, "Preacher, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Brother D, what are we going to do?" I said, "We're just going to keep going." I said, "We're going to go till we find somebody that wants to listen." And I said, "If nobody wants to listen, we'll pass out tracts and knock on every door in this neighborhood, and then we'll move on." You know what I found? We didn't have not one person willing to accept the tract whose door we knocked on in that rich neighborhood. So we just moved around the corner to the next neighborhood. In the next neighborhood, the first 4, 5, 6 doors, I mean, it was on. I mean, we saw people saved. People were interested. "Oh, you're starting a church. You're doing what? Oh, man, when is it? Give me that." And they were excited. You know what you do when you don't know what else to do? You just keep going. You just keep going. Can I tell you what Jesus did when he was limited by their offense and by their lack of honor and by their unbelief? He just kept going. Can I tell you what to do, Faith Baptist Church? Can I tell you what to do, Mom and Dad? Can I tell you what to do, Christian and teenager and Grandma and Grandpa, when everybody around just seems to be bailing out? Hey, just keep going! And you honor God. And you make sure that you don't dishonor God by your... You don't get offended in God. You don't get offended in the Word of God. And that you sit and you listen to preaching. And that you... Listen, when I sit in a church service... Wherever I am, I sit in the church. If I'm not preaching, I'm praying for the preacher. I'm saying, "God, give him something. Give him something for me." I said, "God, I need something. Give him what I need." I pray for the preacher. I pray for the delivery. I pray for the microphone. I want God to do something for me. You say, "Why?" "Because I'm needy. I got needs. I need God's help." So do you. You say, "I don't need God's help." Careful. You can't live without God's help. You need it whether you think you need it or not. And I said, they were limited by their offense. Make sure you're not an offense to God. Make sure you're not offended when you hear the Scripture preached. Make sure you don't get your little shorts in a knot. "I can't believe he said that. He's talking to me." Well, who's he supposed to talk to? I've had people upset with me. They said this, "Were you preaching to me?" And I went, "Were you in the auditorium?" "Probably then, yes. I was preaching to you." You see, I'm not preaching to the post. They're not going to do anything but stand there. I preach to people. I'm trying to be a help. I'm trying to encourage you to get... I try to encourage people. But sometimes people get their feet stepped on. And they get your toes stepped on sometimes in a message. Now, this isn't maybe one of those kind of messages. I'm not really being too mean. Sometimes people get their toes stepped on in the message. "That guy's better." And they get offended. My father-in-law says this. He was my pastor. I moved to Ohio, but he was my first pastor. And he used to say this. He said, "If I stepped on your toes, it's because you are standing where I'm about to step." He said, "If I'm stepping on your toes, move your feet." He said, if I'm rubbing the cat the wrong way, then turn the cat around. You know, if you rub a cat the right way, it's a... But you know, you rub that cat backwards, you make it upset, you know, that's the way some people get in a sermon. Turn the cat around. God's not going to change for us. He wants us to change because of who He is and what He is and what He's done for us. Can I say this evening, my friends, don't limit Jesus by... Don't become an offense to Christ. Don't limit Jesus by your lack of honor. Don't limit Jesus by your unbelief. I dare say there's probably folks in this room that are lost and undone. And some of you are playing church. I don't know. I would just say there's probably one or two that if Jesus was to show up in the room, if the rapture was to take place, the trumpets to sound, the rapture was to take place, you're probably going to get left. How sad. Some of you have sat in church for years and you've heard the gospel preached, and yet, for some reason, you've not accepted it. You say, how do you know that? Because there are people in church. I've been in services where I've seen deacons saved. I've seen pastors saved. Now, I wasn't preaching. I was just part of it. And I was just as amazed as everybody else sitting in the room. All I'm saying is this. I talked to some famous old-time evangelist, Brother Lester Roloff. I had lunch with him, won a contest. He and Danny Coral, the reason I'm in evangelism. I blame Coral. And Lester Roloff. Well, I can't yell at Lester Roloff because he's in heaven. So I can yell at Coral. Because he's my buddy. But Lester Roloff made a statement one time preaching in a chapel service. He said, 50% of our churches are filled with lost people. I went, 50%? I said, wow. So maybe God has offended you somehow. Maybe He didn't do something the way you thought He should. And things just didn't work out the way you thought it should. Can I say, you better be careful that you don't limit God in your life. Don't get offended in Him. That you don't limit God by your lack of honor. You better give Him the honor due His name. Can I say you better give Him the honor due His Word? The Bible says that He's magnified His Word above all His name. We better be careful what we think about the Word of God, what we do with the Word of God. We better honor it. Can I say we better not limit Jesus by our unbelief? Now that we're saved, you've entrusted Him with your never-dying soul. Now we ought to pray. We ought to trust Him with everything else. That's why we ought to tithe, and we ought to give, and we ought to be part of. We ought to dig in and do with all our heart serving. We ought to be wholehearted in this thing and not live in unbelief. Not live half-hearted, half in and half out. You're in this week and out next week and in this week and out next week. You're on that roller coaster ride. I'm living for God. I'm not living for God. I'm living for God. I'm not living for God. I'm living for God. No. After a while, you're going to lean over the edge and puke. I just wonder if that. I think that kind of lifestyle makes God sick. You're on fire this week. Wah! And next week. You're living two lives. So what do I do, preacher? Maybe you need to get saved. Maybe you need to come down here and die to self, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Paul said, I die daily. Paul said, every day I crucify the old man. I said, God, I just want to die to myself. I want to die to who I am and what I want and where I am and where I want to go. And God, I want to live for You. Paul died daily. You know what you need to do? You need to kill the old man. Let the new man come through. And you say, preacher, I'm trying to do what's right, but everybody around me seems to just not be there. What should I do? I'll tell you what you ought to do. You better do what Jesus did. The Bible says He went about the village teaching and preaching. He just kept going. Can I tell you what to do when you don't know what to do? Just do what you know is right. And just keep doing it. And just keep going for God. But let's not limit God by our offense. Let's keep doing right, doing the will of God, trying to do all we can, knowing, doing what we know is right. Let's just try to stay, let's stay faithful until God shows us the next page where He wants us to go. Can I say tonight, let's not limit Jesus by our offense, by our lack of honor, and by our unbelief. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, would You please bless the invitation this evening. Father, I pray Your people will do some business with God tonight. It's just us. God, I pray that some business will be accomplished tonight because of what was said, because of Your Word that was preached. Father, we love You, but sure don't want to limit You in my life. I sure don't want You to be limited in what You can do with me and for me because of me. Father, I pray You bless us tonight. I pray You help folks to get around an old-fashioned altar. Maybe some folks need to get around an old-fashioned altar and die to self. Maybe some folks need to come to an old-fashioned altar and get saved. But You do. And I'd ask You, Holy Ghost of God, to just have Your will and way in every heart and every life. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I want to ask You a question. How many will say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm absolutely, positively, no doubt about it, sure. I mean, I know that I know that I know I'm saved and on my way to heaven for a Bible reason. Raise your hand. Saved and I know it. All right, you can put your hand down. I mean, I say, preacher, if I died right now, I have no idea. I'll be honest with you. I've got some doubt. Preacher, I'm just not 100% sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. But I'd covet your prayers tonight. Can I pray for you, my friend? Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up and say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Would you please pray for me? Anybody at all like that? Just slip your hand up so I can see. Now, I just want to... I see your hand, young man. I see your hand. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Anybody else care to join this one? I see your hand. Anybody else care to join these two? Say, preacher, I'm just not sure about my salvation tonight. Would you please pray for me? I see your hand. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you, folks. Heavenly Father, would you please bless these three that raise their hand saying they're not sure about their salvation? God, I pray tonight. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I pray they'll get saved tonight. God, I just pray you bless them. I thank you for their honesty and their willingness to raise their hand. Help them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one's looking. I want to talk to you three in the back. Everybody else has got their heads bowed and their eyes closed. Can I just talk to you three in the back that raise your hand? Just look up here at me. I know you can't see me. I'm a long way off. Well, let me ask you a question. You don't want to die and go to hell, do you? If it was something you could know, wouldn't you like to know it right now? We can show it to you. Will you let us? Everybody else's heads are bowed and everybody else's eyes are closed. Would you just slip out and come forward? This fellow right here will show you what to do. Christian, let me ask you a question while they're coming. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Do you know for sure? I know you're saved, but has God spoken to you in some fashion or form? Whatever that is tonight, why don't we come get around an old-fashioned altar? I'm going to ask the pianist just to start to play. If God's spoken to your heart tonight, Christian, why don't we just do some business tonight with God? Do you limit Jesus? Will you limit Jesus? Or have you limited Jesus in your life by your offense, by your lack of honor, by your limit, by your lack of, by your unbelief? Why don't we come tonight and just say, God, I believe you. I'll trust you. I don't understand why I'm going through this situation, why I'm going through this heartache, why I'm going through this burden. I don't understand what you're trying to teach me, but I love you and I'll trust you and I'll follow you. And I'll honor you as my God. Everybody goes through storms. Everybody goes through problems. Everybody goes through heartaches. But listen, make sure that we don't turn God off or pull His hand back from our lives. He loves you tonight. He's worthy of our honor and our trust. He's never done anything spiteful or mean. Everything He's done for our good. His glory and our growth. Everything. His glory, our good, and our growth. Never has God one time said, I'm going to fix them. He loves you tonight. I hope you'll not limit Jesus by your life tonight. I hope you'll not limit Jesus' ability in your life tonight because you're offended or you dishonor, disrespect, or because of unbelief in Him and in His ability to meet your every need. He's a good God tonight. And He deserves our praise and our honor and our glory and our love and respect. Amen. Thank you.